This is Cascadia Public Radio.
Hello, this is James Corbett of CorbettReport.com.
And this is James Evan Pilato of MediaMonarchy.com, and we both welcome you to the latest episode of The New World Next Week, our weekly 10-minute YouTube series where we go over three stories in a bite-sized form that will be accessible to all. So we welcome new and returning listeners. And we're going to get right into our first story, this by way of McClatchy News and posted to MediaMonarchy.com. Pentagon drops military charges against 9/11 plotters. The Pentagon on Friday, February 26th, officially dropped military charges against the accused mastermind of the 9/11 terrorist attacks and four other alleged conspirators, a development that likely foreshadows their transfer to New York City to face charges in a civilian federal court. The Pentagon said the dismissal of the charges without prejudice against alleged plot leader Khalid Sheikh Mohammed and the others, Walid bin Attash, Ramzi bin al-Shib, Ali Abdul Aziz Ali, and Mustafa al-Hassawi, was a procedural step to clear the way for their civilian trials. There was no word on when indictments would be issued in New York against the men or when they would be transferred from Guantanamo to the U.S. Attorney General Eric Holder announced back on November 13, 2009, that the five men would be tried in federal court for the 9/11 attacks. What we will mention here as a flashback goes back to one of our earlier episodes of The New World Next Week. If you go back to the November 19th episode, we cover the real reason only five detainees are coming to New York City, and that would be these are the five that have already said they plan to plead guilty. So, James, this is basically kind of setting the stage for a kangaroo court, where the end result is pretty much a foregone conclusion, and you've had Obama coming out and saying, oh, they'll be convicted and executed, right?
Exactly, which is a gross breach of justice in and of itself, but certainly these are people who are prepared to plead guilty, and why are they prepared to do so? Well, people can take a look at the information from the New York Times and other sources that reported that Khalid Sheikh Mohammed was tortured with waterboarding, and he was waterboarded 183 times in March 2003 alone. And something tells me waterboarded six times a day, yep, you're certainly going to confess to anything that's put in front of you. So it's absolutely ridiculous what's being done here, and that the U.S. court system is actually going to accept these guilty pleas from people who have been tortured is just beyond comprehension. And not only that, but also people can take a look at the Bush torture memos that were released last year, which indicated that the earlier stories that the CIA had abducted Khalid Sheikh Mohammed's children and tortured them with ants and other insects in order to get them to talk about their father and in order to get their father to confess to anything was all completely true. So it's just mind-boggling that people will believe this and swallow this, but I guess people aren't going to hear much about those aspects of the case, are they?
No, they're not. And I believe I heard some ex-military official at some point say, you give me some time alone with Dick Cheney and I'll have him admitting to, you know, the Manson family murders or something to that effect. So I think what even ties in with this, we had KSM even admitting to things that weren't even possible, admitting to plotting to blow up buildings that weren't even built. Am I right? That's the story, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and people can go in and take a look at the articles that came out during right after his confession to everything, including masterminding 9/11 from A to Z. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Right, exactly. Well, it's just preposterous and actually quite vexing, but I trust that people won't fall for it. So moving right along to our second story today, what have we got up next?
So our second story comes March 1st, so just a few days ago, by way of the Globe and Mail, and this would be the day after the close of the 2010 Vancouver Olympics, U.S. and Canada to extend security measures past Olympics. Canada and U.S. authorities are talking about extending cross-border security measures that were implemented for the 2010 Olympics in Vancouver and were to end with the closing of the Winter Games. The RCMP, the Royal Canadian Mounted Police, and the U.S. Coast Guard have jointly patrolled the waters off Vancouver since the beginning of the month, boarding nearly 200 vessels and interviewing about 500 people in their efforts to maintain security. RCMP Sergeant Duncan Pound of the Border Integrity Program said in an interview, almost every small craft in the vicinity of the maritime border has been contacted to confirm the legitimacy of its voyage. Although some arrests on outstanding criminal warrants have been made and some vessels have been sent back to port for not being safe, none of the incidents involved a threat to Olympic security. So in addition to the numerous things that this connects to, this shows the way that not only the Patriot Act, but also the sort of cross-border agreements we've made show that so much of the anti-terror is about crime. All crime is terror. So they can say we're going after terrorists, but ultimately they'll bust you for old traffic tickets or what have you.
That's right. And Section 802 of the Patriot Act famously makes all crimes, all misdemeanors, acts of terrorism potentially. So absolutely egregious violations of the Bill of Rights and going on. And the fact that these Canada-U.S. cross-border operations are going to continue even after the threat, the supposed threat of to the Vancouver Olympics is gone, is not surprising to people who were following the issue. And I'd just like to put a plug in for Dana Gabriel, who's an excellent researcher on all things to do with the coming North American Union, and he was writing about this very topic in the run-up to the Games, how the Games were going to be used as basically an excuse for furthering the cross-border operations, which are already going on with Canada and the U.S. integrating their military and integrating their various forces, and this is just another excuse to roll the agenda a little bit further along.
And we do have some great articles linked up as well in this posting on MediaMonarchy.com from Global Research about U.S.-Canada border security and military integration. One last point I do want to make about this, and this again ties to just the Patriot Act and just the encroaching controls, that it's so easy for the powers that be to amp up the security levels because of some imminent, clear, and present danger. And when those things inevitably fall apart, as they always seem to do, the controls don't go away with it. It's easy to ramp it up, but it's seemingly impossible to remove it.
Yep, funny how that works, isn't it? Well, again, it's a perfectly predictable result of what's going on, and again, I don't think most people will fall for it. And speaking of not falling for it, I think we have an excellent and very uplifting third story, so why don't you tell us about that?
Absolutely. By way of ArsTechnica.com, Internet overtakes print in news consumption among Americans. The Internet has surpassed newspapers as a primary way for Americans to get news, according to the Pew Internet and American Life Project, Pew Research. They're one of the major polling organizations. That makes the Internet the third most popular news platform overall, with many connected users taking advantage of non-traditional consumption methods, such as social media postings, personalized news feeds, and getting their news on the go. National and local TV stations still dominate the news cycle for most Americans, but the Internet now stands third in the list ahead of the national and local newspapers. Additionally, the majority of news consumers say they use 2 to 5 websites per day to get their fix, a number that Ars Technica thinks sounds just about right, but a surprisingly high number, 21%, rely on that one favorite site to get everything that they need. James?
Wait, James. Listen, do you hear that? That's the sound of people actually getting smarter as we speak.
Yes.
Absolutely. What can you say about this except for the fact that this is absolutely incredible, and it's, again, it's not really surprising, because I think once people have seen what a non-corporate controlled, non-foundation-funded media looks like and what it can really do in terms of exposing information that you're not going to hear on the nightly news, but that's absolutely vital to these issues, once people see the difference for themselves, how could they ever go back and plug themselves into that matrix?
Absolutely.
And newspapers are just the first domino to fall, but television news is going to be next, and the Internet is going to take over, and that's why we have to fight so hard to keep the free and open Internet free and open, and also to support the alternative media outlets that are out there bringing this real information, because if we don't withdraw our support from the corporate-controlled media and give it to the alternative media, then the corporate-controlled media will ultimately win, and I don't think we can have that. And on that note, I understand that there is an exciting new way for people to help support MediaMonarchy.com.
Yes, there is. Thank you. I have finally set up a P.O. Box here in Portland, and have also set up a PayPal bank account. And what really lit the fire into me to make this finally happen was, of course, our connection to our good friend Richard Grove of PeaceRevolution.org, his new documentary, 2020 Hindsight, Censorship on the Front Line, is available on DVD with all of the amazing extras and things that come with that by donating $10 to MediaMonarchy.com, CorbettReport.com, as well as The Maria Heller Show, The Jack Blood Show, Gnostic Media, and a couple of others. That, again, all this information is available on CorbettReport.com, MediaMonarchy.com, and PeaceRevolution.org. This is a great way to not only support our sites, but to also spread the word of Richard Grove's whistleblowing story.
That's right, and I know you're too modest to do it yourself, so I'll do it for you. I really hope people will go out there and support MediaMonarchy.com, because the work you're doing is so incredible, and it really empowers me to do what I'm doing. So everybody out there, you better support the alternative media that's helping to inform you. And on that note, James Evan Pilato, thank you for joining me.
Thanks so much, man. Take care.